T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Former Boston Bruins fan favorite PJ Stock now does a little hockey analysis north of the border, but we like to talk hockey with him from time to time, and he joins us right now. Hey, PJ, how you doing?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Hey, we were just having this discussion slash argument here a moment ago. Who has the most pressure in Game 7, the Bruins or the Leafs?
That's a good question. You know, I'm going to put some on Toronto because of the way they've been built. They've got Tavares. They're really up against the financial cap this year, and what's going to happen with a lot of their players. I think the pressure that the media has put on them, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the first 10 minutes of that game. Pressure Boston-wise, I just think it's, you know, it's one more year of that core not being able to push the pace and make it to that next level. So I think there's too much of veteran leadership in the Boston locker room for guys that have been there to put pressure on themselves, because they know, because they've been there. The Toronto team is a bunch of young guys that aren't quite sure how to deal with everything, and there will be pressure, and some of it will be brought on by themselves. And the other stuff, of course, is obviously how the media is going to handle this in the next 2 days and influence some of their psyche.
Why do you think there hasn't been a home ice advantage? You know, both teams, it's been 3 games in Toronto, 3 games in Boston, and the road team is 2-1, or I guess I should say 4-2, really. Why do you think that is?
You know, I actually credit the Bruins for some of the wins, and I also want to take some credit away from the Bruins for some of the losses. I just think that I like Boston out of the hop of this one for so many reasons, for the way they finish the season, to the way their young guys get it, to the style of hockey they can play. And I think most people kind of did. And I think what's been a little hard to predict with this, because there's been no momentum, as you've mentioned, but the issue is when Boston decides to dictate the pace of the game and play their style, they win those games. The games where they haven't played the way that they're capable of playing, they've lost those games. They've lost their mom, Montreal. Boston finds themselves down the game. Well, they go back and play their style. They win that one. Game 3 comes around, and they're just kind of, they don't play their style, and lets Toronto win the game. There's just been too many moments of Boston not being consistent with the way they play. And you give those guys in Toronto a lot of space and a lot of opportunity, they're going to make you pay. And I think that's been the difference in this series. When Boston wants to dominate and play that energetic, shutdown, kind of punch in your face type of hockey, they win those games.
Got to hope tomorrow night they bring that to the table. Former Boston Bruin fan favorite PJ Stock is on the line with us. Do I give the Bruins credit or the Leafs blame for the Boston Bruins power play that is clicking along at 43.8% in this series so far?
I know, it's crazy. 7-for-16. I mean, I think you have to give a little bit of both ways. You're getting some lucky bounces as well. I think what the one thing Toronto can't do is take penalties like they took last game anyways. Just penalties that hurt you, just give you life. And I thought the one thing that has been great for Boston is the way they've been able to control it and just take their time. Like, just there, it is fun to watch. There's a few power plays that I love to watch in the league, obviously Tampa and Washington and Winnipeg, but Boston's a little bit along those lines, but they just have it so, there's like a little bit of a, they don't have the old Ovechkin, you know, they don't have the Scheifele. They just do it, and they do it so well. They move the puck, they don't care who scores, it just moves around, and the goals they got yesterday were, you know, a tad lucky, a little shot off a shin pad, another one kind of a big rebound, but the way they move it across the box, from behind the net to up the sides, and anyone can shoot at any time. It's fun to watch. It's going to be, I mean, that is that's how Boston has to come out in the next game and just push the pace as early as they possibly can. Hopefully, if they don't get a goal there, they at least create some nervousness on Toronto and hopefully lead them to a penalty. And then they get your big boys out there, Marchand, Bergeron, they get to feel a little bit more space on the ice. They get to get their confidence going, and that's what happens. Marchand gets a goal early. He's got his swagger. Guess who gets the nail in the coffin yesterday? So those guys need to get their space. Flip side, they can't let Toronto get any of it either.
Going into the series, who did you think was the best player? And then through six games, who do you think has played the best?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, it's hard for me to ever say anything against Patrice Bergeron because I just think she's all world, on the ice, off the ice, everything. You know what? I'll give you a little bit off the map. I think McAvoy, for me, has been just so much fun to watch. You know, he played 9-19 in the third period yesterday, which is ridiculous. That's, you know, half the period. He's on the ice. And, you know, Big Z's been out there as well, but I think McAvoy has been probably, for me, the most impressive, considering they're, you know, some of the younger guys on the Bruins are help pushing the pace. He's been great. In Toronto, you know, they're a young team, and they have to learn how to win. They have a lot of young guys that love to play the offensive side of things. They're learning about playing the other side of it as well. I think John Tavares, even though he hasn't been scoring a ton of goals, I think he's been real good. I think he's been real good. He's going up a lot often against the big line, and he's been doing a pretty good job. But if I had to pick someone, when Boston plays their game, McAvoy, Brendan Carlo was great again yesterday. DeBrusk, for me, you know, that's Krejci and DeBrusk 2-on-2 yesterday. You do 10 million times during the year. It never works out, but you do it in practice every day for that one chance that you got yesterday, and they put it in the back of the net. I've done that drill, the 2-on-2 regroup and drive the net, you know, I don't know how many times since Pee Wee, and it was just worked to perfection yesterday. So I'm going to put a little DeBrusk on that list as well.
I was going to bring him up next. Louis DeBrusk made his living in the National Hockey League more the way you made your living in the NHL. But Jake is obviously not Louis. He is a guy who I think the Bruins think will be a 30-goal scorer at some point in his career. When he's going, David Krejci's going, the whole, then they have a legitimate second line going, then they look like a different team.
By Louis in my style, you mean misused offensive weapons.
That's what I meant.
Correct.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Should have been used on the power play more than you were, that sort of thing.
Okay, yeah, totally. And they're giving Jake the opportunity. So I totally see it.
Yes.
Coaching's changed. But I think he's a great player that you can put up and down the lineup anywhere. And the one thing why he is successful and why I like him throughout this series is he's been constant. You know what you're getting from him. And that's why there's moments where Krejci kind of falls in and out of moments in the game, and that happens often with offensive players. But if you have that guy that's always just pushing the pace, pushing the defense back, you know, finishing your check, which creates space for Krejci, even though when he's not having his best day, but now look, oh, he has space. Now the puck's on his stick a little bit more. And then he kind of gets going as the game's going on. You can put DeBrusk anywhere in the lineup, and you know what you're going to get. And he's going to have an unbelievable career because he has that a little bit of that nastiness to his game, and he also has that offensive stuff, and then he has the drive. And you win with players like that.
Now, in every city, I'm sure the goalie is pretty polarizing. Here, he definitely is. You know, we talk to people every day. Some say they'll never win the Cup with Tuukka Rask. Others say Tuukka Rask is, you know, a top-five goalie. Where do you come down on Tuukka?
I compare him to other goalies in the National Hockey League, and when I see him make some of his saves at times, there's other ones that make it because they're bigger. The puck just hits them because of their size, maybe their positioning. Everything that we do is by comparables. So when you say, you know, where do you compare Tuukka, it's hard. He's not the biggest. There's a couple, you know, I think it was just before the playoffs, I think it might have been the last weekend, and there was a goal that just he let in from the blue line. It was a wrist shot. It was kind of a player skating left to right, an innocent wrist shot that just beat him glove side. Now, I know he's mentally he's not there because the team's kind of already in, it's set, but it was just one of those moments that adds to the questionability about him. When he's on, he's on. It's like anybody else. The only problem is with the goalie. If he's off by an inch that day, it's a big difference because he doesn't have the size of a Bishop, of a Vasilevsky, as a Carey Price.
It sounds like you don't trust him.
I don't want to say I don't trust him because that's not fair.
We're on the radio. You can say whatever you want. That's fine.
Yeah. I'm trying. It's Easter weekend. I'm trying to be as nice as I possibly can. You know what? He's not as convincing as other goalies. How about that? If I'm going to pick guys, he's on my list, but not near the top.
So what do you think happens tomorrow night here at the Garden in Game 7?
Well, again, they used, Big Z played almost 9 minutes in that third period. It's a back-to-back game. You look at the way this has gone, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's been no momentum, no one carrying back-to-back wins. I'll give you two things, that this is one of those days where the Bruins just sit down and say, you take a Jake DeBrusque, the first 5 minutes, first 8 minutes, Sean Crowley, great to have him back in lineup. He's exactly what the team kind of needs. I play those guys, obviously the big line. But I get my energy guys out early, and I get that building rocking. There's a lot of young guys on that Toronto team that have been in this position before. They lost last year in 7. I think Bruins scored 4 and answered. The last two times they've had this series has gone 7. The Bruins have won both. Why? They've lost them both in the TD Garden, or the Bruins rink, whatever name he keeps changing on me.
So...
Why you play all year to get that home ice advantage? Well, they got it again. And why do you play it? Because your fans get into it. Now, if they come out and kind of try and be cutesy and stuff, Toronto's right in the game. You can't try and play Toronto's game. Play your game, and then you dictate the pace, dictate the physicality, and then it's yours. I'd be rolling DeBrusque. I'd be rolling Crowley. I'd be rolling the guys that are energy that can get the building just rocking, and then you just kind of go from there.
PJ, I always appreciate talking hockey with you. Thanks for taking a few minutes. I hope we get a chance to do it again soon.
Awesome, guys. Good luck, boys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.